is faithful and trustworthy, and we come in here to worship Him tonight. Amen? He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our obedience, our submission, our surrender. He's worthy. Thankful that you have come out tonight. Thank you, those that have joined us live stream tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate you being faithful as well. Looking for some of you who are still working through logistics of getting back. And I look forward to seeing you. But I'm so grateful for God's goodness. I don't know about y'all, but anybody else find that this weather was just encouraging today and yesterday? Just made you feel better for some reason. I tell you what, it just spring-like weather. It just kind of, just a blessing just to be outside and look at that blue sky and, man, feel that 70-degree breeze. Real nice. What's that? Hey, it even made Miss Doris behave. Amen. That's all right. I thought you were getting ready to say, well, I guess the same thing. I thought you were getting ready to say it made Miss Doris say something nice. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, we do thank the Lord. Well, let's open our service in prayer and give God the glory. Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness to us. And Lord, as we have been studying, quieting a noisy soul, Lord, we have been so encouraged and strengthened by the Word of God through this study. We thank you for Brother Jim Berg and Lord, his gift and Lord, his ability and Lord, his surrender to you to write this this particular study. We thank you for that. And God, I do pray as we follow the outline tonight, I pray our hearts would be tender to the truth that we will behold. And I pray that you'd strengthen us, Lord, as we pray tonight. Lord, we have been seeking you in fasting and prayer, and Lord, just setting aside some special time. I pray that as we gear up for the glory conference, even tonight, Lord, I pray you'd meet with us, draw us nearer to yourself, and Lord God, we'll give you the praise and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, I want you to, if you could, please turn with me to the book of Romans. Everyone have an outline. Let's make sure, ushers, can we just make sure some of these are available? If you need an outline or a prayer sheet, can you just raise your hand real quick? We need one over here on the right. And over here, Joanna, you need one? You need both outline and prayer guide? Okay. And anybody else need a prayer guide or outline? Okay, everybody's good on that. I got several compliments on my tie from you guys tonight. I really appreciate that. Some of you are bitter. I understand. Just kidding. I know I was a little offended by one comment, though, and I'm going to forgive him even before I get started into this study. But one fella, I won't call any names, but said, I like your Auburn tie. Man, that's just not right, Brother Jim McQueen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Our God is so good, and thank you for being here tonight. As we gather around our study, quieting a noisy soul or taking time to quiet your soul, we have been really, over the past 5 or 6 weeks, we've been really just studying the attributes of God. And That is the way back, by the way. We started off talking about the way down, and when we have a sin of unbelief, and it goes into discontent, then it goes into anger and anxiety, and then it goes into despair. But we've been on our way back, if you will, and we have gone through several. We talked about the base of this part two is simply finding that God is more than enough for me. And let's start off our study this morning by saying that, this evening, saying that together. God Himself is more than enough for me. And so then we looked at beholding the God of love. And we looked at beholding the God of mercy. Then we looked at beholding the God of faithfulness. Then we looked at beholding the God of power. And with the Lord's help tonight, we're going to look at session 11. You should have your outline there. Is beholding the God of wisdom. The God of wisdom. You know, as we look at these attributes, you know, we find peace in them, don't we? I mean, as we think about God's power, as we think about His faithfulness, as we think about His love, as we think about His mercy, when we think about those things, it really brings peace to our minds. And what is that verse? Somebody tell me in Isaiah where it talks about where we can have peace by thinking on God. Somebody want to quote it? Thank you very much. I believe that's Isaiah 26:3, isn't it? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And we know thee is God. And so as we think upon God, our lives are changed. We're strengthened. We have peace. I like what Jim Berg said. He says, when we get to know someone, we trust them better. And he made the point that you can't trust someone you don't know. You know, I mean, I think of it kind of for a spiritual illustration here. You know, when I'm looking for a babysitter, you know, Joanna and I want to go off for a date or something, you know, or whatever the case may be, and we want somebody to watch the children. I'm just not going to go pick up some stranger off the street somewhere. I'm just not going to go a neighbor who I don't know very well. You know why? Because I don't know them. And if you don't know someone, how do you trust somebody you don't know? So the idea is the more we get to know God, the more we trust Him. The more we know His wisdom and His love and His mercy and His power and His faithfulness, His benevolence, the more I get to know Him, the more I'm going to trust Him. And that is the goal for each of His children, to become more and more dependent and trusting in the Father. I like what Jim Berg also said. He said, if you do not know what God is like, you cannot live right. I mean, let that soak in a little bit. If you do not know what God is like, you cannot live right. That's so true. Because we know if we really know who He is and all His attributes and all His glory, I tell you what, that is going to provoke us to righteousness and to living right for His glory. So let's look at that verse there. If you're in your Bibles, you can look there at Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Romans 11:33. The Bible says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. What a wonderful verse describing the great knowledge and wisdom of God. So here's a question here, and point number one of our outline. How much does God know? Well, everything. Notice I want to look at a verse here in just a second, but also we'll look at a paragraph, and it's a little deep, okay? I know it's Wednesday night and it's that midpoint week, but just try to catch some of it, of this quote. This particular one is from Arthur Pink. He's a theologian. He can get pretty deep at times. But what he says here wraps up on the fact of God's wisdom and God's knowledge. We first will look at the verse, Psalm 147:5. Notice it says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So that's Psalm 147:5. All right. Now, we see this quote here that's going to give us a great description of God's wisdom. Notice with me, I'm going to read here. You can read along with me. God not only knows whatsoever has happened in the past in every part of His vast domain, and He is not only thoroughly acquainted with everything that is now transpiring throughout the entire universe, but He is also perfectly cognizant of every event, from the least to the greatest, that ever will happen in the ages to come. God's knowledge of the future is as complete as His knowledge of the past and the present, and that because the future depends entirely upon Himself. Were it in any wise possible for something to occur apart from either the direct agency or permission of God, then that something would be independent of Him, and He would at once cease to be supreme. Now, those are some rich thoughts right there. Just let it soak in that our God is an all-wise, all-knowing God. Notice your first point there, God's knowledge is infinite. That's where we will use a word often there, that word omniscience, all-knowing. God's knowledge is infinite. Notice Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6. We'll put it up there. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. There's that knowledge and the knowledge of me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Did you get that? Your knowledge is too high for me. It's wonderful. That's where we get that word awesome and all. And it goes right along with our theme this year. We really, truly are in awe of God. Point A under this, and we're going to look at it in just a second, but if we could look at Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, too. Notice this little nugget in Ezekiel 11, verse 5. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. That's amazing. God Almighty knows everything, so He knows all the thoughts of all men at the same time, simultaneously all over the world. God knows. His knowledge is infinite. Notice letter A there. It is therefore intuitive. It is therefore intuitive. What does that mean? Basically, Jim Berg describes that for God, knowledge is intuitive. It's natural. It's there. As point one says, God does not learn anything. We do. We have to. We have schools. We have colleges. We have Sunday school class. We have Wednesday night services because we're learning. I heard somebody say experience. And because that is indeed something we are always doing. Hopefully we're always doing. Hopefully we're learning. Sometimes I know in my life it's the hard way, but praise God, we understand our God, our Savior, His knowledge is intuitive. We also see there that God does not deliberate about anything. He does not deliberate about anything. There are times in life when you are confronted with a situation where you got to take some time to think about it. Anybody have any of those situations today? Yeah, we all did. In some way, you were confronted with a situation where you didn't know the answer right off. And that happens a lot. And I know as a pastor, sometimes situations are brought to me, and boy, sometimes they're tough, they're complex, and I really don't know, and I have to be honest and say, listen, I've just got to pray about this, and I can get back to you, let me study it out and think about it, and we all go through those situations, you know. I've even had my kids come up to me and ask some questions that really catch me off guard, and I'm just like, you know what? Let me get back to you on that, because I don't have the answer right now. But listen, our God, who is infinite and His knowledge does not deliberate about anything. He knows exactly what to do at every given situation. He doesn't have to ask questions. He doesn't have to search out more details. He doesn't have to take time. No, our God does not. But we here as humans, we are not intuitive, and we do not have that type of knowledge that is infinite. And our wisdom is not infinite, but thank God we can come to our God who is. Notice also, not only is His knowledge therefore intuitive, but it is therefore also infallible. Because it's infinite, it's infallible. You've heard it said before, God never said oops. God's never said oops. God's never made a mistake. He's never wrong. He never gets wrong information, if you notice that letter B. And God never needs more information. And that's a beautiful thing, that when it comes right down to it, I can trust His decisions. His decisions for my life, He is trustworthy. It's not like something happened in my life because, ooh, God forgot that slight detail. God didn't have this information. God, misread that in my life. No. That's not our God. Our God is perfectly aware, and it is perfect in His knowledge and wisdom. You know, letter C, the only proper responses to this kind of knowledge are what? Wonder. Again, going back to our theme for this year is stand in awe. And so, yes, that should bring wonder in our hearts. That word awesome, which can be used flippantly in our day. But it truly carries the idea of being full of awe. It can be the wonder of God or even the dread of God. There are times where that is used in the context when people are not right with Him. There's that dread, even that we see in His judgments. But we see in Psalm 139:6 again, to sort of, we saw that one, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And because of the wonder, and we think about His creation, we've talked about that several times this year. Just creation is not infinite. Okay? But I do believe that creation does give us a little glimpse of infinity. I do believe that because you think about it, we still, how long we've been on the earth as humans, we still have not tapped into the depth and the breadth of this universe. You think about that. And so we know there was a time when God said, let there be light. But by the way, has anybody figured that one out yet? That was before the sun and stars and the planets came into place. And God said, let there be light. And, you know, His creation is just a little glimpse. Now, we know it's not indeed infinite, but He is. But it gives us just a little glimpse of it. Quite fascinating. And really, when we think about how tiny we are, it'll humble us. We think how great our God is. I like the illustration that Jim Berg gave. He said sometimes in his imagination, he puts himself just outside all the galaxies of the universe. Just billions and trillions of them. And then you narrow it down to that one galaxy that we're in. And that one galaxy we're in, you narrow it down to that one solar system. And that one solar system's got a little planet called Earth. And then you see that little planet Earth, and you go down to the continent of North America. and then right down in the United States of America, you take it down to a state called Georgia. And then from that state, Georgia, you take it down to a place called Jackson County. And then down from a place of Jackson County, you take it down to a place of 6202 Jefferson River Road at Crooked Creek Baptist Church. And wow, it puts things in perspective. We have an awesome God. And He's all wise and all knowing. And by the way, He always wants the very best for us. Always. There's never a time that God is out to hurt us. He's always out to help us. Sometimes we do get hurt in the sense of correction. There's pain in that process, we all know. But never does our all-wise God, does He ever purposely want to hurt us. But no, it's always for our good to help us. And like we talked about mercy, and I don't want to get into that, but judgment is actually also a type of God's mercy because it's to prevent further judgment. But we see that we do worship our God. And, you know, I think I may close here tonight because I want to give plenty of time for prayer tonight as we prepare for the Glory Conference. But I do want to share one more verse with you. Revelation chapter 15. Look at this verse with me. This is and the idea of wonder and worship of God. It says, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of saints. Who shall not fear Thee, O Lord, and glorify Thy name? For Thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before Thee, for Thy judgments are made manifest." Would you leave that verse up just for a second? Notice that word at the bottom, judgments. That word there carries the idea of decisions. Decisions that God makes. And there are times, brethren, that we look around our world and we're like, these decisions have gone way wrong. But what one day, we don't see it right now. One day, as these people are who are worshiping God Almighty, and the angels that are worshiping God Almighty, they see the big picture. And one day, you and me are going to be able to see the big picture. And right now, they see it, but we don't. We get, I like the illustration Brother Berg gave. He said, these folks here have the helicopter view. They're in their helicopter hovering down. They see the big picture. And you and I, you know what we have? We got the dashboard view. We see right over the dashboard what's coming before us. But I'm telling you right now, we know that our God is doing everything well. And though there are situations, and I don't want to get ahead of myself because that's what we'll go into next, is God's knowledge is incomprehensible, even when we can't understand, we're going to see how that is indeed what proves God in many ways as being the all-wise God. Does it take wisdom to make a good thing out of a good thing? Not really. I mean, that's pretty easy. That's not much of a challenge. A good situation producing a good situation. But where I believe wisdom is found is where, and God shows it clearly, is where you can take a royal mess of a situation and God in His all power and all knowledge and all wisdom will eventually bring good out of it. And that's why we are in awe of God tonight. Because He is the God of wisdom, and we behold Him with great reverence, great fear, fear of respect, and what a blessing. And I believe this same God knows exactly what we need tonight. I know He knows what we need even for our Glory Conference coming up.